How are you doing? Cyril O'Flaherty is my name. I'm living in the Aran Islands 24/7. Oh, you're listening to The Sod Show.
Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
What a 3.2 Dublin City FM. It's The Sod Show for Good Friday. Good afternoon. With you is Peter Donegan and myself, Brian Green, until 3.30. Today, The Sod Show, for its third year running, and running is the pun word there, we are going to Inishmore, where we will be catching up with some of the folk that we meet when we go there. Well, we don't go there. Peter goes there with his microphone and more tales and stories from the isle, or is it the island, of Inishmore today on The Sod Show. Brought to you in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet, greensax.ie. Check them out in the supermarket where you can pop them in your trolley. We've got to tell you about something before we get into today's interviews, and it's from Clare Garden Festival, my beautiful and edible garden. Bite-sized program of garden talks and demos, great garden and artisan food fair, 50 exhibitors from all over Ireland, a garden raffle in aid of Clare Crusaders, music by County Clare's Los Paddies de las Palmas, children's garden and entertainment, free parking and early bird tickets for €5 if you're there before 1 p.m. It's on Sunday next, the 27th of April, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Ennis Showgrounds, Ennis, County Clare. When I say Sunday next, I mean the Sunday after the one coming right now, but some people will be listening during the week on podcast. So Sunday the 27th, if you're in the North West Munster area, County Clare for you. And they've got garden experts at the Clare Garden Festival. They include Susan Turner, Peter Dowdall, Jim Cronin and Peter Donegan. I've heard of him before. ClareGardenFestival.com for more details, and if you're on Facebook and haven't found the internet yet, it's facebook.com/ClareGardenFestival. Best of luck to them for putting it on, and hope they have a great day. Hope the weather checks out for them good. 103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show, and if you want to get in touch with us, if you have any news items for us, at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook, info@sodshow.com, and the last 3 years of programmes are all there for you on the website, www.sodshow.com. Let's get into it. Let's go to the island of Inishmore and join our roving reporter and producer and landscape gardener expert, Peter Donegan.
We are coming to you from the island of Inishmore, my fourth time over here doing the half marathon with Temple Street Children's Hospital, and it has been complete. I'll get to the thank you list after, but in the meantime, I do also have to put a note of thanks to Ostan Ilan Aran. I'll put the spelling of that up on sideshow.com, but it means the Aran Islands Hotel. It is the perfect destination, I am told, for a wedding venue, from intimate. Wow. Too extravagant, traditional to unexpected, family holiday breaks, short breaks, and activity-based breaks. Whether your desire, I'm told, is to relax and unwind in this unspoilt terrain, or for you to come to cycle, to walk, to explore, to fish, to sail, or to boat or horse ride, or even experience the language of the people, that is the Irish language, then you should go and visit Aran Islands, plural, hotel.com. The plural bit is not within the .com, so it's A-R-A-N, islandshotel.com. In the meantime, our guest on today's show, and we are very grateful for him coming at a little bit of short notice, but he has come via the lads at the Aran Islands Hotel, so we owe them a great deal of thanks. Cyril, you are an islander, I gather, for those who are not from the Aran Islands, and also for those listening maybe in the States or Australia and England who are grand followers of the Sod Show.
I am indeed, yeah, born and bred.
You're a young man. You're not an old man.
Well, I don't know about that. There's mornings I wake up and I think I am an old man, but no, I suppose I'd be halfway there, do you know what I mean? Yeah, but yeah, so.
Is it fair to say that the main, I suppose, income of the island is tourism?
Oh, it would be very much so, yeah. It's tourism is our bread and butter at the moment, you know what I mean? Now, it's changed a lot from fishing in the past and small farming, but our economy really does depend on tourism, and the season has extended in comparison to what it used to be. When I was a kid, it used to be quite a short season, but now our season has extended to a six-month season as comparison to a three-month season, you know?
This morning, for example, and I'm gathering this may be a reason for the season being extended or unshortened, but the weather was a little cloudy and that stopped some of the planes coming in for the start of the marathon. Is it a case of that when you hit really bad weather in or on the Aran Islands that it tends to hamper the things coming and going across from and to the mainland?
Everything we do, the weather dictates it. Like last summer, for instance, you had a heat wave, and the island, I've never seen as many people sitting on a beach on the Aran Islands in my life. People came from Galway to go to the beach. So weather is a big factor. If we have a mild winter and a reasonably mild is shouldn't be, I suppose, it's storms and wind and rain. That's really what hold people back, you know. Weather does dictate everything to us. But if we get a reasonably good set, you know, it can be said that we have more sunshine. Islands off the coast of Ireland always get more sunshine than the mainland does, and that's a known fact, because most when the weather fronts hit the land masses of higher land masses inshore, it tends to carry the rain in there. And we could watch Galway and the clear coastline raining all day, and I've often seen it and talked to people on the phone in Galway, how are you doing there, and they'd say, well, it's teeming out of the heavens, and we're going, jeez, it's glorious basking, glorious sunshine out here. And you get a few kind of, I don't believe yous, but it is true. Yeah.
So what would be your profession?
Well, my profession is I'm an artist by trade, so that's my profession, okay? But I would work in tourism very much so as well, and I farm, I work part-time. It takes, to live in an island, I think you have to be diverse in what you can do, and maybe turn your hand to quite a different amount of things to make ends meet, and some people prefer that as well to other people, just doing different things. So I'm an artist first and foremost, but I'd be a farmer secondly, and I'd work in tourism as in tour guiding.
Okay, so when I spoke to the lads from the hotel, we were talking about one or two things, and we had one or two guests that we were considering having on. You came to the top of the list because...
Well, I don't know why for so because. I couldn't really give you the answer to that. Maybe I can talk a lot. I think that's what people say to me anyway. I'd have a very keen interest in the history of the islands. And in tour, when I do the tour guiding, I it's a passion of mine to actually give a good quality tour and things like that. So that would be one of the key factors in maybe the boys asking me to come down and do this, you know.
Okay, so let's get this one out of the way. You've had previous guests on the show. We have had Bartle Hernan on. We have had Portico Tour on the show as well. This is Cyril, would now be the third inverted commas islander. How long and how wide is the island?
The island is 9 miles long and it's 4 miles wide at its widest parts.
I read on Wikipedia that the lowest temperatures that you normally get, I knew this anyway, but I read it on Wikipedia just in case anybody wants to disagree with me, is 6 Celsius, ranging to 16 Celsius. The 6 Celsius is generally in the lower months, as in the winter or off-season months.
Yeah, they tend to be. I mean, that cold snap we had a number of years ago, that did drop down to the 1, you know what I mean? But generally stays around the 6, yeah, which gives us an extended growing season as well. It's fabulous for growing. Everything is ahead here in comparison to other places. So gardening, it takes place here in February. People start sowing, they're making their ridges in February for the growing season. So we have an extended growing season.
And I'm open to correction on this. The only time the island has ever had snow was in 2010, in the history of the island.
No, that's incorrect. That's incorrect. Now, I remember snow as a guy back in 78, 79. No, we do get snow. But the thing is, we got a snowfall, I suppose, to clarify it, we got snow that lasted for more than 2 days. Usually our snowfall only lasts about a day and a half. For instance, my oldest son, who's now 15, he was, I think, 10 before he even saw a snowflake. Do you know? So that shows you how rare it is for us. It's an amazing experience out here when it does, because of all the stone walls and everything. It's a very different landscape. It's an eerie landscape when we get snow, but we do get snow a little bit more often than that now.
The stone walls, I jested before that because there are no nightclubs on the island, there are no nightclubs?
Not yet.
Okay. Has there ever been a nightclub?
No.
Grand. Okay. the reason for all of the stone walls is that people came out of the pub, there was no nightclub to go to, and out of boredom they built stone walls. I'm obviously taking the mick out of me, and I'm an Irishman and you're an Irishman, but there you go, for those outside of Ireland.
The answer to the nightclub question is definitely not. I don't think when they got out of the nightclub anyway, they would be able to build them. No, stone walls go way, way back. Stone walls are a concept that are 5,000 years old. We've been doing that for 5,000 years and retaining the same traditions throughout those 5,000 years.
Okay, on a serious note, and my bad, terrible sense of humour, and I do apologise to the entire of the Aran Islands and the Aran Islands Hotel and Cyril for my previous jokes, but on my walk around the island with Kevin, a beautiful island, Kevin Rowe that is, who's sitting next to me, two things struck my attention. Number one, the main choice of hedging is literally like an old gardening book of look up seaside plants, things that will survive against the sea, all of them waxy-leaved, all of them Olerias, all of them Hebes, fuchsias, but very little variation of. Second thing, there were more walls as dividing separations between one home or one field and another. And the third thing was that essentially, no matter what was built, nature on this island, as it does anywhere, I suppose, but here a little bit more so, had an ability to take that entirely down.
It's very true. The wind would be a massive factor in that. We get very, very strong, relentless winds from the west, southwest. They keep everything at bay. So nature is always in control out here. That's the thing about the Aran Islands, is anyone who thinks that they're going to defeat the elements, you know, out here is kind of crazy, because you're not, you know. Even polytunnels, they don't last very long out here. You have to kind of keep them tied down as much as possible and watch them at 24/7 and sit in the middle of a storm and pray that they just don't blow away. But yeah, everything is. But we did have trees. You know, these islands would have been forested 2,500 years ago. Up until the 17th century, there were still a number of the ancient forests still left on these islands. So we did have forestation. It's mankind, really, that has deforested the islands through intensive farming and methods of farming. That would be the main reason for the deforestation and the lack of fuel thereof, because all our fuel was imported in the last century, still is today. But prior to that, we probably cut down a lot of our trees very quickly and never had the foresight to look forward and replant native species. And as you know, native species take quite a long time to grow. But we do know that Scots pine grew here once upon a time. We had ash, we had alder, which is still here. We would have had oak, and the yew tree were quite common. And they have been carbon dated from finds such as Dunangus, which date back to 2500 BC. There were from carbon finds there on those sites that we know that there were forests here, very similar to the Burren in County Clare. The reason for it is that I suppose the sudden cutting down of these forests, which is very common in South America today as well, large areas of land will, after heavy rains, will wash down into under the lower terraces. So if you notice the Aran Islands, all the top of the islands is barren, but if you look down in the lower terraces, they're more fertile. That's because all the soil has washed down to the bottom.
We are going to pause for a little bit of a song of the week. Brian, I am looking out the window of the Aran Islands Hotel. I can see... Wow, hold on a second. Let me just clarify this so I don't get myself into trouble. What can I see out the window? There's a wee little landmass out there. There's a lighthouse next to it.
The Burren in County Clare, and then you have Straw Island, which is a small lighthouse across there, and Killania to the east of you there, over towards the airstrip. And the other two islands should be visible from here as well. You can see Inishman and Inishir.
Well, there you go. And I'll tell you something for free. People head off to very fancy down places with beautiful palm trees, and I think Kevin will agree with me on this, and we'll get to that in part two of the show. But you have never seen such a beautiful picture as to what we're looking out the window of right now, complete with an Irish, American, European Union flag and two flags at the hotel. Brian, again, back to you in the studio.
Minimum temperature 6 degrees. They're at 53.1 degrees north on latitude. That is quite astonishing. It must be the Atlantic Drift, the Gulf Stream. Wonderful temperatures to be minimum. 103.2 Dublin City FM. Song of the week. Here's Blondie, Island of Lost Souls.
...103.2 Dublin City FM in association with greensacks.ie. They are the compostable bags for home and garden. If you're looking for any pictures of today's show, sodshow.com, type in Inish, I-N-I-S, separate word, M O-R, Inishmore. Type in Inishmore and you'll come up with all of the relevant photographs. There'll be links to the Facebook pages, the whole lot, and it's all in there. Still in my company, Cyril. Cyril, is there one main attraction? I know the answer to this one already, but is there one main attraction to this island, or is there more than one?
Well, I mean, there is the what we call the sacrificial lamb being Dunangus that everybody goes to see. But we have so much more. We have so much more. I've spent a lifetime here and I haven't seen everything. And believe me, I walk a lot out in the landscape. Arran is not just a two-day visit. It's a month visit, even more. It takes years to really get to know the place. So there are many, many. You have Bronze Age Ringforts. You have Holy Wells. You have early bronze or Neolithic sites as well on the island. You have wonderful beaches, you have fishing, there is so much to do, but you really got to get here and kind of feel it out and find what's there. But yeah, there isn't just one. You need to take a couple of days on the Arran Islands really to get yourself grounded first and foremost, and then you start to see. And of course there's the people of the Arran Islands who are wonderful characters as well, and once you get to immerse yourself in that, then you find that there's like the Black Fort as well, there's Dún Uachtla, numerous holy wells, castles. So there's a lot to be seen, and not one day. I'll always say, if you are coming to Arran, do 2 to 3 days at least if you can fit it in, because there's a hell of a lot to be done. Walking, you can walk in anywhere across the island. Of course, the cliff walks are fabulous entirely. There's the wormhole, which is now world famous because of the Rev Diving, the Rev Diving competition that goes on here in June. We've all these different festivals as well, such as Halloween. Halloween is a very, very unusual festival here. It's the only place in the world where we all dress up, all the adults and children dress up and go from house to house. It's not your trick or treat either, it's actually done in silence. So you can't speak, you take on the guise of another world spirit. There's that. We have St. John's Eve, the only places left in the country that still, maybe down the Dingle area and the Kerry area, they still do it. But it is becoming a very rare thing where we light the fires on St. John's Eve. That's the 23rd of June. It's probably a Christianized festival from the 21st, of course, because you had the solstice happening there. But there's that. Then you can take a ride in a pony and trap. You can take a walking tour. That's what I do myself. You can go off and you can do you can do horse riding as well. You can go biking across the island. There's so much to do. And of course, the waters out here are so clean. So for swimming, some people compare it on a summer's day to the Caribbean because the waters are so clean around the island. And that is that's wonderful as well, just taking a dip in the ocean.
Bringing it back to horticulture, you have a very limited plant range. And in short, I'll bring it back to something we were talking about in part one, which is I see some gardens that have kind of been landscaped. It is mainly a lot of stonework. And then the second thing I kind of notice is, whilst people maybe have tried to introduce plants, there are very simple things like the primrose, that seem to grow, that are growing rampant. I know Pat Fitzgerald down in Kilkenny is selling a very, very fine range of Irish primrose at this moment in time. Horticulturally, it's more a botanist's challenge than it may be a botanical haven. So if I compare Inishmore with the island of Madeira, they are poles apart.
Yeah, we do, but we have a wonderful range of wildflowers. Like we have alpine gentians and orchids that come up here. Now they're about to come out of it. I've seen one the other day, and they are remnants of the last ice age. So they're a throwback to our last ice age. And to say that for botanists, Arran has been, it may be a challenge, but it has actually been for early botanists coming to the west. Like maidenhair's fern is still quite common here. We have things like cowslips. Someone mentioned to me that they're quite rare on the mainland, and if you go to the Coast Road, cowslips are actually becoming more and more prevalent in the landscape of the island. They're spreading, as opposed to becoming something rare, they actually are spreading across the island. But it's a unique and a very diverse, because of the limestone and because of the elements themselves, we would have a very unique range of flowers and different plants growing here, as to other places around the world, you know. So for botanists, I think it can be a challenge, but they love it, yeah. I mean, I've gone through, Tim Robinson wrote a wonderful book, The Stones of Arran and Pilgrimage, and he has pretty much listed all of these ones and some rarities that have thought to be pretty much gone from Ireland and have been found here again in one little corner of a field, you know. But it takes, as you know yourself, you've seen the amount of fields, it takes a long time to maybe seek out that one little corner of very rare plants.
Kevin.
So I suppose in terms of the marathon on today, it was absolutely fantastic in terms of support. I mean, one thing I noticed, and you even commented on it earlier, Peter, is even people driving past in cars, everyone was waving, people out walking, people are very, very polite and stuff. Is there, what's the community spirit like on the island?
We have a very strong community spirit. And you can really tell that when a tragedy might strike, you know, then there's even, you see this knitting together of the people and a coming together of people. And for events as such a things that happened, like that happened today now with the marathon, the Iron Marathon, there's a wonderful, it's everybody getting together and doing something for a good cause. So yes, and of course we all know each other. You know, all 900 of us, you know, plus know each other. Even people who moved to the island within, unless you're quite reclusive, within at least a month you will be known, you know, and everybody knows everybody. There's something else to bear in mind as well. We would have up to about 30 different nationalities living here, from German to Japanese, French, you have Austrian, Swiss, Norwegian, American, Polish, Czech, you know, Lithuanian. So there's a huge diversity in the community we have here, so each person brings their own little bit and something new to the island. So yeah, we have I would say clearly we have a very strong island community and a very strong sense of pride in our island. That's something that's very important to us, is who we are. We're unique. And each island will say that to you, but we would say as well that we are unique. We have our own kind of dialect and things like that. So
the main thing that struck me about this island, apart from the landscape, apart from the stone, apart from the blankets, and I mean literally blankets of limestone, and then my horticultural head trying to figure out where and what you could maybe manage to grow, should you, even down to potatoes and the ridges and the primrose and the stuff that grows wild, and seeing buildings literally being maybe taken down, is that it is absolutely stunning. If it were a woman, I would marry the island, and I don't know whether I can pay a compliment like that to a land mass that measures a couple of miles long and a couple of miles wide, but it is so, so, so beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It is, and every day we're reminded of that. Sometimes, you know, when you live here, you forget to see the forest for the trees, you know, and it's only when you step back from it and maybe go away for a year or two and you come back to Ireland and you really realise how special it is. And I mentioned earlier on some cliff walking. I mean, cliff walking, you can walk on the cliff some days there, and there's paths that run all the way from one end of the island to the other, and you mightn't meet anyone, you know. And you don't see any houses, there's no other human beings around you, there's no influence, barring the stone walls, of any other human being or human influence in the area. And when you see that, you really do, it makes you feel quite small and in the bigger picture, you know. It brings you back down to earth, but there's a very sense of where you can escape, you know. Even though you might have 1,000 people a day coming out here, you can get to the cliff sometimes in the middle of summer and leave it all behind and sit out on those cliffs and you know.
Kevin,
just in terms of one curious question, just when you know, number one, is there a secondary school on the island? If there is, just when people go on to college and stuff like that, like, how difficult is it to keep kind of young people on the island? And, you know, what would be the kind of, in terms of the percentage of young and old on the island? I'd just be fascinated to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Well, my thoughts are, yes, there is a secondary school. There's 2 primary schools and 1 secondary school, quite strong. Actually, they're coming in now. We have programs where kids are coming from Dublin and all over the country, and they do that year, that 4th year, where they spend it living with Island Homes, and they improve their Irish, of course, which helps them along the road when they're doing their leaving cert. But yes, third level, it's good for young people. The first thing I would say is it is very good for young people to leave an island, because you can become small-minded. And I think the more people leave and travel and they see how the other half lives on the other side of the pond or wherever it may be, they come home with new ideas and fresh outlooks. So they bring that back to the island. And everything you add to the pot enhances the island in itself. Back to your question about growing things here. You can grow grapes in tunnels here. I grow grapes. I grow all kinds of manner of foods here. So, you know, it might be a very harsh landscape, but it's kind in the climate, which we spoke of earlier on. So I have a grapevine. The only problem I have with my grapevine is the blackbirds keep stealing my grapes in September. So, but yeah, it is possible to grow quite a lot of range of a variety of foods here.
Oh wow! Okay, there's only one real way to explain how you get to do this. So go to aaronislandshotel.com. Ask for the lads. They'll have all of the links and information to everything else, including the best Iron Islands websites. Their Facebook page is fantastic. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Ask for Cyril if you're coming across and you're booking a bit of a tour, you want to see something happen. You will not meet a finer gentleman. And he will also direct you to one of the finer four pubs on Jokin, which is exactly where we are at this moment, overlooking the water. And the reason why we're not outside, as a by the way, and you don't have the ambient sounds, is because the microphone would have been blown directly out of my hands. That said, the half marathon of 13 miles around the island is one that I would highly recommend. In the meantime, from the Aran Highlands Hotel, the best view on the flipping island, and it is stunningly beautiful, with thanks to Kevin Rowe to my left for coming across and doing the half marathon with me, Nick McGivney as well, and Cyril, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, and I hope you enjoy your stay.
I will, my fourth time, and I'll be back for a fifth soon. I'll have the links, everything else, the photographs, the whole lot, the view from this window, a photograph of myself and Cyril, all up on sideshow.com. Search Inishmore, I-N-I-S-M-O-R, if you are listening to this in podcast in the future, and you have a DeLorean.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, our guest, Cyril. 103.2 Dublin City FM in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check Greensax out on the internet, greensax.ie. Drop them into your shopping trolley at the supermarket. Thanks, Greensax. I do have a DeLorean. I'm going to go back in time. 2014, back to 10-14. And this weekend in St. Anne's Park, the Battle of Clontarf Festival. Check out the details at brianberewmillennium.ie. There's a URL for you. They wouldn't have made it easier. brianberewmillennium.ie. And it's on in St. Anne's Park, Raheny, Dublin, 5, the 19th and 20th of April. From 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Admission is free and there's parking all around. Enjoy 1,000 years after the Battle of Clontarf. This is Dublin City FM, the Sod Show. We're back next Friday at 3 p.m. Our thanks to our guests, thanks to Peter roving and running in Inishmore, and to Katrina on the blogs at wholesome.ie on Twitter. Talk to you next week. Take care. Bye bye.